Thanks very much, Peter, and good afternoon, everyone. I intend to speak on aged care as part of the broader healthcare system, with particular reference to its impact on hospital care. And I intend to make three points. Firstly, that aged care is a very real issue and a substantial challenge facing everyone involved in the provision of the totality of health care. Secondly, that it is one of many challenges, not the only challenge, facing our hospital and healthcare system. And thirdly, that reform of the funding of health care is not only desperately needed, but I believe on the way. And so I think we can see our way forward for how things are going to change, which is going to be vitally necessary because of the very issues that Justine has spoken about. The aged use our healthcare system, as you would expect, disproportionately. We have a growing number of people over the age of 65 years who present to our emergency departments, which is the greatest pressure point within our public health system here in Western Australia, with chronic conditions, circulatory, respiratory, digestive disorders in particular, at approximately twice the rate that they are present in the population. Justine has just told us about 12% of the population are aged over 65, nearly double that is the rate at which they present to our emergency departments. Again, not at all surprising and I believe totally appropriate. We do have a small but nonetheless very demanding presentation in our emergency departments from residential aged care facilities. The management of people coming in from residential aged care facilities is difficult. The complexity of their conditions requires intensive treatment in the public hospital system, and again, because of their higher acuity, are demanding of public hospital resources. And finally, and again, not at all surprisingly, if you look at the number of hospital separations that occur in Western Australia, people aged over 65 are represented about three times their share of the overall population. Again, not surprisingly, because we do need more healthcare as we age. I make those points because it's not my job here today to say the aged care used too much healthcare, or sorry, the aged used too much healthcare. It's the inappropriate use of healthcare that I really wanted to touch on today. Acute care for the aged, is it totally appropriate? Whether it be in terms of surgery, presentations to the emergency departments, that's what they're there for, to care for the needs of the public who need acute care in our hospitals. It's the inappropriate use that I want to touch on of people who do require aged care services or accommodation who are occupying acute beds in our public hospital system. Justine's already given you the figure in round figures, $1,100 a day to occupy an acute bed in a hospital, $100 a day to occupy a bed, a more appropriate bed, in an aged care facility. We have far too many people waiting for aged care beds in our public hospitals. Today, the state government, because of this problem and because of the impact on overcrowding in our hospitals, we fund 272 care awaiting placement places, 100% funded by the state, to pick up a responsibility that if we had adequate aged care provision outside of hospitals, we would not need to do. That's an expenditure of between $25 and $30 million a year. We still have, notwithstanding that, if you wanted to go to our public hospital system today, you'd find more than 100 beds occupied by people waiting an aged care placement, which is where they should be, where they're more appropriately cared for, and where they wouldn't be putting pressure on the acute side of the healthcare system. And unfortunately, the length of stay of people awaiting placement in an aged care facility is dramatically longer than an acute patient requiring treatment in our public hospitals. I make this point, it's not just about beds whether they be aged care or acute. It's also about making sure that we increase, and Justine's referred to her initiatives in this area, the availability of aged care packages to enable everyone who is physically capable of being supported to live in the community does so. I think a combination of the responsibility for the beds plus the aged care packages would go some way to relieving that part of the pressure which exists on our public hospital system. So if I can say that inadequate aged care provision is adding to the pressures that are being felt by the public hospital system, both directly and indirectly. There's always opportunity costs if your resources are being expended on meeting the need to accommodate people whom you should not have to meet, and that money can always be spent in different ways to provide care for the patients who are being treated. And so while significant, aged care provision, as is suggested in the title of today's forum, is not the panacea for our public hospital system, nor is it a major contributor, or the major contributor, I should say. It is a very significant contributor to the pressures on our public hospital system, but it is not something which in itself would provide a solution to the problems that we're encountering. We do need major reform of our healthcare funding arrangements in this country. They've grown up over the years and not been adequately attended to, but I am very optimistic that we're going to see some very significant changes in the very short term here in Australia. On the 22nd of July, 2 weeks ago, health ministers from around the country met with the Health Reform Commission. A former Premier of Western Australia, Jeff Gallop, is a member of that Health Reform Commission. And we're at that meeting, the focus of most of the discussion, not entirely, was on the need to reform the funding of the interface between the acute or hospital sector and the primary care sector in all of its manifestations, or more particularly community-based care. If I can just refer briefly to six manifestations of that. Firstly, primary care. Here in Western Australia, we get a rough deal when it comes to primary health care. We're somewhere between 350 and 400 general practitioners short of the national average. And assuming the national average is sufficient to meet the demands out there in the community, that is how far we are short. What that means is that there is a lot less Commonwealth money coming into Western Australia through the medical benefits scheme. The Australian average is $559 per person coming into the community via the medical benefit scheme of the Commonwealth. Here in Western Australia, the figure is $471 per person. That translates into a shortfall of $170 million that if Western Australia was to receive the average rate of contribution around Australia through the medical benefit scheme, we would be $170 million better off having been spent on the community. And of course that flows on to the pharmaceutical benefit scheme as well. So we're getting less Commonwealth expenditure on Western Australia through the medical benefit scheme, and that is reflecting itself in a variety of ways, including the fact that it's difficult to get to see a GP. People then look to emergency departments as the alternative. This is particularly so in the aged area as well. On the bright side, there's been a dramatic increase in the number of medical graduates who will, from next year, be coming through our two medical schools at Notre Dame and UWA. Approximately a 250% increase in the number of graduates, and I do hope that a significant number of those, will end up in general practice. And I think the sort of course that's been offered through Notre Dame in particular will point medical graduates in the direction of general practice. Secondly, mental health. The big emphasis has to be not on acute beds, but on care in the community. It's the same issue as the shortage of GPs. 2 years ago, when the Commonwealth Government announced a mental health package, they said that a very big part of it was going to be to put a lot more money into funding psychiatrists and psychologists. That's fine, unless you live in country Western Australia, where there are very few of them. And no money goes in from that package into those communities who have very significant mental health needs. So I want to see a significant reform of not only the primary care but also mental health care as it is based in the community. Outpatients in other states are funded substantially by the Commonwealth, not so here in Western Australia. Because we spend so much of our hospital funding on outpatient services, that is not available then for other inpatient services. Fourthly, emergency departments. Last year we had 775,630 people presenting for treatment in our emergency departments here in Western Australia. 136,067 of those were admitted as patients. In other words, 18% of the people who presented to emergency departments required hospital treatment. It might well be that many of those who did not require hospital admission still benefited significantly from the treatment they were receiving. Many of those people come there because of the unavailability of GPs. Who should fund that care which is not hospital care for those people who don't require to be admitted to the hospital? These are the issues that we debated with the Health Reform Commission. Same issue exists in respect of Indigenous and remote health. And of course, aged care is the sixth area where I think we need very significant reform. Figures that I think are central to the debate about aged care in the context of health reform are these. Today, there are 2,019 aged care beds which the Commonwealth has said we need here in Western Australia, but which are simply not provided. 2,019 beds short of the need that is out there in the community. This translates on a saving to the Commonwealth, $62 million a year that the Commonwealth is saving by virtue of the fact that the aged care industry has not provided these beds which the Commonwealth has said that they are prepared to license. As a result of that, WA has got the second lowest rate of high care places in the nation and the third lowest level of Australian government expenditure on residential aged care services in the country. We're not getting a good deal out of the current aged care system. If we were, in my view, our system would be significantly, our entire healthcare system would be better off. Now, the response from the Healthcare Commission on these issues, I think, was very favourable. When they report in the next 6 to 9 months, I expect to see very significant changes in the way in which healthcare funding will be made through the next healthcare funding agreement. And I think that their report and recommendations will guide the healthcare funding through the next healthcare agreement. If I can conclude on this note, that a new funding arrangement between the Commonwealth and the states to cover the totality of healthcare is vitally necessary. The existing one is creaking, it's broken down, and it is not delivering what we need, not only in the aged care sector, but for the entirety of the healthcare system. Secondly, in my view, and hopefully the Health Reform Commission will recommend this, that funding will be based on the patient rather than on the funded institution or the source of that funding. In other words, it's time to break down the silos which have, I think, caused many problems in the way in which we've not been able to deliver a seamless healthcare system in the past. Thirdly, I think we need to accept that healthcare needs to be an integrated continuum, and a failure at any level, whether it be aged care, mental health, or any of those others to which I've referred, will simply transfer the need or the demand to another part of the system. That's certainly currently the case with aged care, and hopefully the Health Reform Commission will provide us with the solutions and a new model for healthcare funding which will overcome a lot of these problems in healthcare and in aged care and other parts of the healthcare system as well. Thank you very much.